AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. It is time for our monthly conversation with Dr. Jim Minter, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. He's also an ag econ professor there at the University of Purdue. And I don't know if there's any truth to this, Jim, but did I read somewhere that you are in the running for the number one Boilermaker heading into Saturday's Final Four?
Well, I don't know if there's any truth to that either, so we'll find out, I guess. I think Zach Edey's the number one Boilermaker.
There you go. There you go. Exciting time, isn't it?
It is exciting and long awaited. I guess I'm old enough that I remember the last time Purdue was in the Final Four, so it's great to see him back in it again this year.
There you go. There you go. That's awesome. Congratulations on that. I hope that there are other land-grant universities that are soon to make their first appearance in quite some time in the Final Four. I'll just leave it at that.
Probably one that's located at Ames, Iowa. Is that
Ames,
what
Iowa, that, you know, if you're looking for someplace on the map, we can go straight to Ames, Iowa.
but Iowa can be pretty happy about Caitlin Clark's performance last night.
Holy smokes. It's incredible.
That was fun to watch. Fun to watch.
It certainly is. It certainly is. There's no question. Okay. The Ag Economy Barometer that you do there at the Purdue Center for Commercial Ag, working with the CME group, and it showed a bit of improvement. Just give us the basics.
So it was up a little bit this month. The index was 114. That was 3 points higher than last month. And, you know, in the ballpark of last year, I think it was 3 points lower than a year ago. The interesting thing from my perspective, Chip, was the fact that all of the increase was attributable to people becoming more optimistic about the future. The future expectation index was up 5 points compared to last month, and that was 7 points higher than a year ago. So it really had to outweigh the fact that the current condition index was actually down a little bit compared to last month and down substantially compared to last year. So that was interesting. And so one of our challenges would try to look at the responses to the other questions and try and see if we could ascertain, you know, why did people become a little more optimistic? And, you know, it's a little hard to say for sure, but I think the thing that we were able to point to the most was the fact that people became more optimistic about interest rates and interest rates going down over the upcoming year and potentially the impact that would have on the ag sector in general and ag incomes. Because, you know, if you look at some of the other responses, although people didn't explicitly tell us it was interest rates, when you looked at some of the other questions, it appeared that the change in interest rate outlook did impact their viewpoints.
Okay. All right. I want to dig into this just a little bit more. It also suggests to me, Jim, that they feel like their current situation has bottomed out, at least for now.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think the other way to express that, Chip, would be to say that they view the downturn that we've seen in commodity prices recently maybe as a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah.
At least from a cost price squeeze. I mean, I think what people are telling us is that they think the margin squeeze that we're experiencing right now with high break-evens and weakening commodity prices is a little bit of a temporary phenomena. And you could rectify that to some extent with stronger commodity prices. You could also rectify it with weaker input prices. And people continue to tell us that they're very concerned about high input cost.
Right. Right. Okay. Let's go back to those interest rates, because there is some supporting evidence in the questions in the survey. Just 1/5 of respondents list higher interest rates as a top concern going forward, correct?
Yeah, that's true, but that's been fairly consistent over time. And if you look at it, the shift there has been, number one concern as long as we've been asking the question going back to the beginning of last year, has been high input cost. The shift has been more people are worried about lower crop and livestock prices now than they were this time last year. And then the interest rate concern a year ago was a little higher than it is now. It was 25% last year at this time. This month it was 20%. So people are still concerned about interest rates, and rightly so, because interest rates really haven't backed off. So the question is, are we going to see some declines going forward? And we did ask a question about that this month explicitly. We asked, what do you expect the U.S. prime interest rate to be 1 year from now? And the shift is quite remarkable. A year ago, or actually last summer, 30% of the folks thought that we would see an interest rate increase of 1%. And another 30% thought it'd be 1 to 2% higher. So 60% of the people in the survey thought rates were going up. This month, only 32% of the people in the survey think rates are going up. So I think that shift actually kind of spells it out a little bit. Fewer people think rates are going up, and more people think rates are going down than what we saw earlier. And I think that shows up in the farmland expectations. Okay. I think it shows up in the Farm Capital Investment Index as well.
Okay. All right. Well, the Farm Capital Investment Index is where I was going next with this. Tell us about the changes there. I mean, it's not like everybody is thinking that now's a great time to invest.
No, and truthfully, in our index, they never do. Right. We're trying to do some follow-up questions. We pretty consistently get anywhere from 2/3 to 3/4 of the people in the survey who say it's not a great time to invest. And I think part of that's because they're thinking about the prices of new farm equipment and whether or not their operation is large enough to actually support that. But we're trying to ferret that out with respect to some newer questions going forward. Okay. But this month, that Farm Capital Investment Index did rise 7 points. That leaves it about where it was this time last year. I think it's 1 point lower. It's quite a bit lower than it was 3 years ago. That index really had its peak in early 2021 when it got up above 90. So people are less optimistic than that time frame, but certainly more optimistic than they were a month earlier. And then if you look at the farmland index,
yep,
which is correlated, the short-term farmland index actually jumped up 9 points. And that's a fairly big move for that index in a one-month span. That left it 11 points higher than this time last year. And when you look at the returns, net farm income forecast, for example, for 2024, you think, why is that short-term farmland index going up? Well, the number one reason we could come up with was the expectations for some softer or weaker interest rates. And that would translate back to the capital markets, capital asset values, things like farmland, as well as having an impact on the investment picture for things like farm machinery.
Right. Okay. One of the comments that you put in the summary, when asked why they expect farmland values to increase, more producers this month pointed to inflation expectations as a supporting factor.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And I don't have a good explanation for why they're saying that. I mean, yeah. I think that would suggest they were thinking about higher inflation, which would be the counterpoint to lower interest rates. So
right.
That one's a little hard to ferret out. I think, the big thing, people continue to point to non-farm investors, which is interesting to me, given that the relatively high percentage of farmland purchases are made by other farmers. But people continue to point to that as a supporting factor. That's been true as long as we've been asking questions. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out going forward.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the add-on questions here, because I think it's fascinating talking about the investment in the green economy out there with carbon capture and solar panels. What did you learn?
So the first question was, have you engaged in discussions? You or one of your landlords engaged in a discussion with a solar energy company or with a company about carbon capture, utilization, and storage? Solar energy, 12% said they'd had a conversation in the last 6 months, which was kind of interesting. That's fairly consistent with what we've been picking up in prior surveys. We've been around 8 to 10%, so 12% is maybe a small bump up. The carbon capture, we've asked this now a couple of times, and we've been surprised at how many people tell us they've been talking to somebody about carbon capture. 18% said that they'd had at least a conversation. And thinking about the farmland stuff that we were just talking about, Chip, we're starting to wonder if the green energy, the solar energy, and the carbon capture is starting to maybe filter back into an impact on farmland prices. We're actually going to ask some questions about that this coming month. But
okay,
the rates are
when you
high.
Look at some of the leasing rates out there, Jim, it would make people more optimistic.
Yeah, the rates are high. I mean, we asked the follow-up question. Again, we focused on the last 6 months because we thought we were getting some maybe some older responses with respect to lease rates. And so this month, it's just saying, you know, what kind of a lease rate were you offered for a solar energy project in the last 6 months? 54% of the people said that if they were offered a rate of above $1,000 an acre, and 27% of the people in the survey who had had a conversation said that they were offered over $1,250 per acre on a long-term basis. So those rates have clearly drifted up. We've been asking questions about rates for the last 3 years. Those rates have clearly drifted up over that time frame.
Yep. Yep, no doubt, no doubt. Continue to look into what's going on with the Ag Economy Barometer. Jim's also got some interesting perspective surrounding this fall's elections in there. Jim, great stuff. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks for the opportunity. Look forward to visit with you next month.
All right, Jim Minter, Purdue University. We got the Farmer Forum next.